If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Woman Patriots tonight. I am the woman patriot that you have because Brenda's still away, and hopefully she'll be back next week. And I hope everybody's had a good week. We've had some more interesting information that I'm going to go on a little tangent because that's what I like to do. A little bit later, in about 30 minutes, we will be having Chip Jones as a guest who will be talking to us about the story he broke about Valerie Jarrett being the given the stand-down order. And I've read the article, and I asked him to come on right away because, as most of you know, Benghazi is near and dear to my heart because of the way it's been handled. And there's been more information that has come out on that I would like to ask Chip about. So stay tuned for all that. The one thing that is on my last nerve right now is Obamacare. All these representatives and senators and all those lovely people that we voted in on the premise that they were going to try to stop it because it's just not good for us. And now the good portion of them are choosing not to defund it. And I don't know why. Because we know that back in March of 2010, Obamacare was signed into law, and we also know that Justice Roberts was the last person to give his approval on, but Judge Roberts rewrote it twice, portions of it, twice, and then he deemed it constitutional as a tax. And as a tax, in our Constitution, Section 8, Article 1, Congress shall have power to lay and collect tax duties, impose and exercise to pay the debts and provide for the common defense and general welfare in the United States. But all duties, imposts, and excises shall be uniform throughout the United States. To borrow money on credit. This is all the job of Congress. It doesn't say a Supreme Court judge can do this. And they did. So Congress, the House, who has the purse, has every right to defund it, and they all know that it's going to be a train wreck. We have Medicare and Medicaid that is very, I think, in a sense, similar to what Obama's trying to do. That has been screwed up. They've been playing with the money, it's supposed to be in a lockbox, but no, they're going to borrow it here. Hey, let's invest it there. You know, we'll make money on our money. But you know what? They lost our money. They're gambling with our money that we give them every week when we get paid. And then what they end up doing, as we all know, is now they're trying to redo what this big mess is to undo. Well, they're looking to clear out the Medicaid and Medicare and make it all Obamacare, which means they're going to take one mess and make another one. Why are they not just fixing what is already on? Because what they do is, instead of enforcing laws that we already have, they create new ones. This doesn't make sense to me. I don't know if it makes sense to anybody else. But for me, it doesn't. And Congress, most of Congress, they're on their five-week vacation or whatever, and some of the congressmen are working. Some of the senators are working. But there's a whole lot of them that are hiding. They're hiding because they don't want to face their constituents. I've been arguing with, she's not my rep anymore, but Renee Elmers, I'm really disappointed in, because she ran on defunding Obamacare and not defunding it, but just making all of Obamacare go away. And she hasn't. And she's not going to defund it. But what is in Senator Cruz and Senator Lee's bill is not to shut down the whole government. That is Obama. Call his bluff, you chickens. You people that we elected into office, call his bluff. It's them. It's not us. We need to stand on principle. He's a stubborn SOB. He's baby. He's stomping his feet. If I don't get my way, I'm going to do this. And that's exactly the way he's acting. And all of our elected officials up there are falling into it. And it's really making me mad. We've got an election coming up next year, and anybody who does not defund it or get rid of it, they will be fired and replaced. Because I know a lot of people that I'm friends with and deal with do not want those people rehired. They get hired by us. They can get fired by us. It's we the people. We demand it. I've been demanding town hall meetings. And finally, Senator Burr put on his website where he's going to be all week. So I put it on every page that I can think of in North Carolina. So people can go and meet him and ask him questions. And somebody said, well, you know, he's not saying it's a town hall meeting. Well, you know what? Make it one. We have the power. We have the power to ask questions. They're hiding. Especially Senator Burr with his little comment that it's stupid to defund it. If they would get their... I can't even believe that some of these representatives and Congress and senators, I just can't believe that they're not looking at, they're looking at the whole picture, but what are they getting for it? If you recall, before they even signed it, Obama was offering people, representatives, and probably senators, offering them, like, money and stuff like that. You know, the little bribes. You know, you do this and I'll do that. And you know what? It worked because we got it. and we don't want it. We've got the Obamacare that nobody wants. I actually sent a message to Senator Cruz, and I said, look into the bribery thing, because that would be another reason to impeach him. Now, there is a lot going on, and we are doing the overpass this Saturday to impeach Obama, and more people are getting involved. More and more people are sick and tired of this man doing what he's doing. Now, while he's on vacation, he's supposed to be signing the UN Guns Treaty. And if that happens, then it won't stick, because it has to go through Congress. And if he signs an executive order, Congress is just in his way. Well, you know what? Thank God Congress is in his way. We've got to get Congress the rest of the way in his way and stop giving in to this little crybaby, because we're going to be the ones that lose, not anybody else. And I didn't come this far for this man or this administration to drop us on our heads. And the left can't stand the Second Amendment and Americans' right to keep and bear arms. Now there's something else that they're sure to hate. It's the Second Amendment Forum on Conservative Nation Radio with Maxwell Winchester Roberts. We welcome Max and his decades of firearms and Second Amendment rights experience to Thursday nights at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central. Starting September 5th, the leftist administration in D.C. wants to disarm the American people, and Max just won't let that happen. The Second Amendment Forum, coming in September to Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on Conservative Nation Radio, where America always wins. Now, that's going to be a really cool show, because we the people did not get our God-given rights to protect ourselves from government. So we're not going to give them away either. So anyway, if anybody wants to call in and just talk about what I was just talking about with Obamacare, and I also think that Justice Roberts has his own little agenda, because he's really got it wrong. And I'm really upset with him, as is the rest of the world. But I was also reading a little while ago that he appointed every judge to the FISA court, and he's also heading NSA surveillance. He's the judge for that. I wonder, now that we have NSA and the others, who was bribing him? Because they had to have something on him for him to turn like this. Because he's been around since 2005, and he was nominated by President George W. Bush, and he's been doing the right thing. So what does the Chicago thugs have on this man? I don't know. But it's got to be something.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We've been married 38 years, we're retired, and this is how we live united.
We play golf and we travel, but we also decided we were going to give to and volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
I do the nursing at the clinic.
I work the front office, checking in patients, greeting them, making them feel comfortable.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places, the places that need it most and implement it best.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too.
We even get a few bless yous. It's incredible.
We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic, so we don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Ronnie Wood of the Stones for Rad. You know it's okay to rock and roll and party, because I do it all the time. Just let someone else do the driving. That's what I do. Remember, rock lives, and you should too. Please don't drink and drive.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Okay, welcome back to Women Patriots. It's 17 minutes after the hour. And if you want to come in on the conversation, the number is 718-305-7176. And again, we have Chip Jones that will be calling in shortly, and he's going to be talking to us about what went on with Benghazi, because he's been investigating it. Anyway, you know, there's so much that's going on, and so many more people who are actually trying to get Obama impeached. Besides we the people who are doing the overpasses, the National Black Republican Association, the NBRA, based in Sarasota, Florida, headed by Chairman Francis Rice, filed articles of impeachment against President Barack Obama with the following language, and this is really awesome. We, black American citizens, in order to free ourselves and our fellow citizens from governmental tyranny, do herewith submit these articles of impeachment to Congress for the removal of President Barack H. Obama, a.k.a. Barry Sorto, from office for his attack on liberty and commission of egregious acts, I don't know what that word is, sorry, of, oh, these legal words are killing me, acts of depotism, I don't know, that constitute high crimes and misdemeanors. So that's all we need to know, is he's a slug, and he needs to be removed. And she goes on with the impeachment power. The Article 2, Section 4 of the United States Constitution provides the president, vice president, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. Well, we know he's got a lot of that going on. And he's also got the articles of impeachment. In his conduct of the office of President of the United States, Barack H. Obama, a.k.a. Barry Sorto, personally and through his subordinates and agents in violation or disregard of the constitutional rights of citizens and in violation of his constitutional duty to take care that the law be faithfully executed has prevented, obstructed, and impeded the administration of justice in that. And then she goes on to all these articles. One of them is covering up the delay, impeded the obstruction of the investigation of the Benghazi battle. And the death of people, the four Americans that were killed, including Ambassador Stevens, Sean Smith, Glenn Doherty, and Tyrone Woods. And we also, prior to Benghazi, if we all recall, was the killing of Osama bin Laden, SEAL Team 6. But nobody ever knew about SEAL Team 6 until Joe Biden, vice president, opened his big mouth. That's treason. He said he put a target on the back of our people. We are, we're going to get them one way or the other, because most Americans that I know just can't live like this anymore. Because I know I can't. It's really getting out of control. I got this from the Watchdog. The Watchdog Wire, Florida. So I'm really excited about that. And I do know that the other one, Judicial Watch, is also suing and bringing up charges. And with the IRS, oh yeah, the IRS, Lois Lerner, oh yes, did everybody hear about that? Did everybody hear that she'd see what she can do? And right after the little meeting that they had, then poof, that's when it all stopped for the 504Cs. So that's when it all started. So Lois Lerner is in big trouble. Jay Sekulow is an attorney, and he mentioned that he was on Sean Hannity yesterday, and he was talking about how he and seven others were in there, seven other lawyers, and they keep amending what they're doing because more and more information keeps coming out. So it's very interesting that it's all going to happen, and not happening soon enough, but it is going to happen. And I can't wait for that day. It's going to be a freedom day when that man goes to jail, along with his cronies. Because now, I'm sure you've heard by now, DOJ wants to write the laws and rewrite the laws. Huh. I think that has to go through Congress, too. He just can't say, poof, I want to do that. It just gets me crazy how these people just think that they're God's gift to the world. And then you have these people. Did anybody see that little boy praying to Barack Obama? My goodness, those parents should be sent to jail for child abuse and neglect because they're teaching him wrong. Anyway, we should be having, Chip should be calling in to talk about his article pretty soon. And like I said, I'm really excited about that. And there, I know that there's more and more people getting involved with what we've got going on in this world, because people are really seeing what's going on. And we do have a caller, 978. Welcome to Woman Patriots. Who's this?
Hi, this is the infamous Chip Jones.
Hello, Chip Jones. How are you?
Not too bad.
Good.
I probably should have said it was Barack Obama just to see what sort of reaction I'd get out of you.
I probably would have laughed at you knowing better. I know I'm not that important to him, especially when he's on vacation. But I know his little the NSA cronies are listening, which is fine with me. They can go back and tell him that he's on my list, and it's not the good list.
Yep.
So how exciting you broke this story, Chip. Tell us about it.
I'm sorry, what?
For me, it's very exciting that you broke the story.
Yeah, it's not a bad one, is it?
No, it's not bad at all. I mean, I kind of, in the back of my head, I would tell my husband things like that. And, you know, he would kind of shake his head agreeing with me, but nobody ever had any proof. How did it all happen? I mean, I know you've been with Benghazi, you know, going back and forth and getting what you can on it, but I'll shut up now and I'll let you speak.
Okay, you know, if you go back on conservativereport.org, and people, for their benefit, conservativereportsingular.org, it's all you have to type in. You go back and you look. We've been working on Benghazi as a theme for some period of time, and in December of 2012, I broke the, here's an article called Outsourcing Terror, the real purpose of the special mission Benghazi, you know, broke what CNN broke on the 5th of August, you know, that we were collecting weapons from Syrian rebels and redistributing them back to Syria through Turkey, with a whole lot more details. We've been pushing on this, and the senior writers at Conservative Report are a majority military folks that have some military expertise, and some have military contact. And, you know, it hasn't harmed us any that we've been persistently writing the truth and not giving up. So what happened is, and this is a number of months ago, and quite frankly, I think there might have been snow on the ground here in Massachusetts. At the time, I got this thing leaked to me that Valerie Jarrett had actually been the one to issue the order in the Situation Room. And that, I mean, that's bombshell material, you know? So, I mean, and we're honest journalists, you know? A lot of people write stuff because it gets hit count and it sells advertising. We don't work that way. And I looked for some more confirmation. Quite frankly, late spring, early summer, I got a confirmation that was secondhand, and I thought that was a little spongy. I didn't like it. I wanted it firsthand. It wasn't a clean enough second source, and I sat on it. On the third of August, on Saturday, I got a text from somebody I know who's in the know, who just flat out confirmed it. I mean, it was just a flat out confirmation. Subsequently, I wrote the article on Saturday. I scheduled it for Monday morning at 6 a.m. Why did I schedule it for Monday instead of Sunday? Number one, I knew nobody else was going to publish it. Number two, quite frankly, Monday morning is simply the best time to publish for exposure. And I wanted this to get exposure, not really even, you know, to get credit for Conservative Reporter for myself, but because this is a story that needed to be heard, and needed to be heard far and wide. And quite frankly, it just went viral. It just went viral. Subsequent to that, it's interesting that Patrick Reed, the editor in chief and and founder of Conservative Report. He got through his sources of confirmation, and Andrew Amity, who writes for us, he got one through sources that he had. So we really have like 4.5 confirmations. This is a pretty solid article. Yeah, and I love it. I mean, I love it. By the end of Monday, I've got a hit piece. I got a hit piece about me in Media Matters, which is, for those of us on the right side of the street, that's like the red badge of courage. That's like the Congressional Medal of Honor for bloggers.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I know. I mean, of course, well, Patrick was livid about it. And I said, don't you dare. I'm loving this. I'm loving every second of it. Because if George Soros was taking a shot at me, that means that I am on in the right territory. You know, and I loved it. I mean, actually, they're taking a swipe at me for quote-unquote unnamed sources. You know, and I think I don't know whether I did it on Facebook or I did it. But my response to that was very simple.
Could you hold on 1 second? We've got to take a quick break.
Go ahead. Go for it.
All right. Sorry.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing!
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Okay, welcome back to Women Patriots. We are talking to Chip Jones, who broke the story about Valerie Jarrett being the one to stand for the stand down order. So, Chip, I'm sorry that I had interrupted you, but we have to do these spots. Got to bring some money in somehow. But real quick, I wanted to ask you, so Valerie Jarrett, well, we know Obama was not in the Situation Room, but she was?
Yeah, what happened was that evening, about 5 p.m. Washington, the report came in over secure channels that our mission in Benghazi was under attack. We have Brigadier General Dempsey, who's chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, briefed the president for, they said a short briefing, maybe half an hour or whatever, not a lengthy briefing. And the president said that he issued the order to do whatever is necessary for our people. And the president went upstairs to the living quarters and had his supper. And there was a pre-scheduled conference call with the Benjamin Netanyahu. If you remember correctly, at that time in the presidential campaign, Obama was taking a thumping for having been rude to Netanyahu.
Right.
And this was really one of those things that kind of launders that, and he's going to spend a bunch of time. And, in fact, that call went on for approximately 2 hours. Present during that call was Valerie Jarrett. one of the things that as an aside, Valerie Jarrett is one of a very, very limited number of people who has access to the inside of the presidential living quarters. Very few. You can count them on less than one hand in that building. Number one and number two, she's the only one in the White House, the only one other than Michelle, that is allowed to call him by his first name. So it gives you a hint on who she is to him and to that family. And she was there because she's special advisor for blah, 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 and international affairs.
Right.
And of course, she was born in Iran. So, she knows the Middle East pretty well, whether we like the interpretation of that knowledge is created or not. You have to credit her with the knowledge. So, she was there for that. And what we don't know is because, really, unless one of the girls or Michelle or Barack or Valerie herself are going to tell you, not likely, a conversation must have occurred about what was going on in the Situation Room. And what we don't know is if the president asked her to do his bidding or whether she simply took it upon herself to do the bidding. She went down to the Situation Room. And, what everyone's looking for, and this is one of the things that really bothers me about what's going on in both the press and in the blogosphere. We're asking the wrong questions of the right people and the right questions of the wrong people. We're being led to use terminology that allows people to answer questions absolutely factually and yet mislead the American public almost completely. And one of those questions is, who was for the stand-down order? There was no stand-down order. And there's a reason why there was no stand-down order. There was no order from which you have to stand down. As I like to, in a Starkey way, say, to have a stand-down order, you have to have a stand-up order first.
Right. Okay.
So what was being sought by our troops on the ground, or our personnel on the ground, and by their handlers and commanders going up to the chain of command, was commonly referred to as cross-border authority. And under the War Powers Act, there's only two ways that we can initiate offensive military action in a sovereign country. And one of them, obviously, is if war is declared by Congress. I mean, that's the obvious one. But the other one is it requires a direct presidential order. And the only one who was other than Congress, who's authorized to give that order, is the President of the United States. Cross-border authority was sought, and what was reported to us is that Valerie Jarrett went to the Situation Room and informed President Dempsey that the President would not issue cross-border authority. Which is
so
really
by not ordering it, by not saying to do it, it was basically... in other words, don't do it if he didn't say do it.
Exactly. And therefore, any military assets that we had that were available to intervene in Benghazi had no right whatsoever to intervene. It stopped any further action on behalf of the folks on the ground in Benghazi. And you take, for example, I don't know if it was Daryl Issa or Trey Gowdy who asked, was there a Panetta? Was there a stand-down order issue? And the answer was no. That was an absolutely truthful answer that did not get to the core of the question, at least. Had Trey asked, was cross-border authority requested? And by whom? And then followed by whom from, I'm kind of guessing that the guys in the mission were probably communicating to WASOC Africa, the Special Operations Command for the Trans-Sahara region. who then probably asked for the order to AFRICOM, which was part of General Hamm, the commander for the African theater. And I'm sure he relayed it to the situation. That's kind of how these things work. And whether it went from, Lusaka, Africa, through the Special Operations Command of McGill, or however the chain of command worked under those circumstances. But essentially, by not giving it, all military action was, the potential of any military action was halted.
Wow. Now, you also mentioned in the article that he was on the phone with Netanyahu.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any way that those phone records, we should be able to see his phone records. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. It's very, very well known that he was on the phone with Netanyahu. So that was reported at the time. That's not something very secret. That was reported. That came out very quickly afterwards because he wanted it out. He wanted to leave the appearance that he was being very cordial with Israel.
Somehow I don't believe it.
it's real. I mean, that's real. I believe it because that's what he'd do. He'd create a scenario that made the truth appear not to be true. I mean, that's part of what they do. I mean, you have to follow the trail of evasion and misinformation. That's what this administration does.
Because until I read your article, I had no clue that he was on the phone, supposedly.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't heard that.
Yeah. And that doesn't come out in the Benghazi discussion because it's not necessarily about Benghazi. Now, the other thing is, let's think about where Benghazi is. And think for just a second. If a different president of the United States had gone upstairs, made the conference call, and said, "Hey, Bibi, listen, I'm really sorry. I called you up to say that we're going to have to have our people reschedule this call. I've got an issue going on in Benghazi. Our embassy's been attacked by al-Qaeda terrorists. I got to go down. I got to make sure that this gets done right. I'm sure you understand." What do you think Benjamin Netanyahu would have said?
He would have said, "God bless you."
He would have said, "Get the hell off the phone and get down there."
Right, exactly. God bless you.
And that would have done more to improve relations between the United States and Israel than a two-hour conversation between the two.
Right,
so there,
exactly.
I mean, there was an alternative here, but that he wasn't doing the alternative, So the saddest part of this is, If you go back and listen to the testimony, this is very, at this point, pretty well out in the open. There was a special forces team and an AC-130 Spectre gunships, AC-130 is spooky, on the tarmac in Tripoli, an hour's flight away, at 2 a.m., Libyan time.
Right.
An hour's flight is 3. Deploy on the ground and move is 4. Teams in place at the annex, 10-man special forces team, in place. Nobody knows they're there because they're very, very sneaky guys. The Spectre gunship to me is in the air. It has laser guided 20-millimeter cannons, which are devastating. If you think about the 20-millimeter round, hold your husband's thumb up, not yours, and it's the tip of his thumb. It's a large explosive round, and they're guided by lasers. They're absolutely pinpoint accurate. Now, if you remember correctly, Ty Woods and was lasing the targets from the roof. They would have taken those, when the plane flew over, when they were setting those mortars up, they would have neutralized those, would have destroyed those mortars in less than 15 seconds.
Right.
Now, that alone would have meant very likely that Ty Woods and Glendory would be alive today. And that alone would have meant that, I love this. You know, diplomatic security officer, Dave Ubin.
Right.
I love it. I mean, that's one of the parts about the men that I love. And it's partially our guys that do it. But, you know, you had three diplomatic security officers who were at the mission in Benghazi, and two came with Ambassador Stevens.
Yep.
The original compound was attacked by approximately 60 Ansar al-Sharia terrorists. You take those five guys, divide them into 50. It was 12 to 1. They had RPGs and small arms, rocket-propelled grenades and small arms. And somehow these five guys recovered, I mean, got Sean Smith out. He died, but they got him. And about 30 civilian State Department personnel into private, you know, trucks and vehicles, and got them down the road to Vienna. What sort of soldiers do we, what sort of people, do you think diplomatic security is trained well enough to win a fight like that 12 to 1?
Oh, heck no.
So who do you think diplomatic security is?
Right. Right.
The special forces. They're special forces on temporary duty, TDY to the State Department, or whatever. And that's what happens with the Army Special Forces guys. They don't TDY all of them. So, you know, that kid on the roof that they refer to, you know, and I'm sorry his name came out. I really am, because you know what? Now with terrorists knowing who he is, what do you think his wife's life is worth right now?
Eric Snowden?
And his children?
No.
And his father. I wish they just left it alone with the names and let these guys testify, you know, in secret so they could stay anonymous, which is what they have to do to stay alive. But, you know, but Dave Rubin lost a leg up there. So he'd have his leg back. Now, you know, okay, that's cool. You got two guys alive, you know, and one security officer with his leg. That's a very, very good thing to happen. But think about this for a minute. A 10-man special forces team then comes out of the shadows and attacks a 60-man terrorist cell.
Right.
How long do you think it takes to do that for them at a 6-1?
Yeah, I don't know. I've never been trained.
That fight lasts between 3 and 5 minutes, and every single one of them is dead in the street.
Right, okay.
You know, we would have had a resounding victory at the annex. Those guys would have come back, and I'm sure that the other four guys would have done it. My guess is that Ubin was on the roof because he was the least hurt of the five. My understanding is that all of them were shot up. All of the, you know, all of the security officers, all of the TDY Greenbergs were shot up. Getting those people out of there. They're pretty tough guys. They can still fight when they're shot up, you know. And better than most people can when they're not. But it, you know, that's the thing that bothers me, is we had every asset we needed 1 hour away, and they were refused. If you listen to the testimony,
I listened to every one of them.
The lieutenant colonel who was in charge was livid that he had to, you know, and what he said is he informed them, you do not have the authority. If you look at the quote that he said, you do not have the authority. And that's the critical word, authority.
Right.
So for those of us in, you know, in the Black Talk Radio world and in the blogging world, and those of us who can, you know, the social media, get stuff out to the Trey Gowdy's and the Rand Paul's of this world and so forth and so on. They need to clean up the language in their questioning.
Right.
To make sure they get the...
Right. Now, what do you know now, what do you know, if anything, about what was it, 33 people that were there?
Well, I think they're saying there were 36.
Okay.
And I think those included the security officer. I think it was about 29 or 30 that they evacuated, that the five guys evacuated, not counting Stephen Smith, who lost his life. What do I know about them?
Yeah, I know that
they were evacuated. I know that the guys that had evacuated them were nicked up in the process of doing it. I think there were some of the civilians that might have been nicked up a little bit. I know that a couple of those, you know, the TDY guys at diplomatic security were nicked up bad, and their convalescence took some time. That's what I know. I mean, do I know who they were? Do I know names? No, I don't. If I could get their names, would I get it? Absolutely, I would not. If you look at what I wrote initially, some of the things I wrote initially, I wrote an article called On a Lonely Rooftop in Benghazi. If you go back and look, I tried to give an experiential sense of what it must have been like on the rooftop for those guys.
Right.
But in those articles, I refused to use the name, and it's just been so widely used, I've given up. I wouldn't put it out there. You know, and the other thing is, and this is one of the other things, that some of the mistakes I think that we make, the latest kind of scandal is that they're moving these guys around and they're making them take polygraph tests and sign NDAs.
Right.
Well, the guys that were there, or at least those five guys, likely have top secret black security. I mean, the NDAs that they're involved in are the most, I would call them bulletproof, except I think that the consequence of breaking them is a bullet. Either it's just number one and number two, these men have intense and incredible pride about their ability and their unwillingness to share information that's classified. It's a matter of honor for them.
Is it their unwillingness, or are they being silenced?
Well, they don't look. If they're green berets, and I think they are, they refer to themselves as the silent professionals. Everything they do is silenced. It's silenced because they want it silenced, and it's silenced because knowledge threatens their loved ones. Let's stop and finish the act subject by 20 or 30 degrees. If the guy that went up the stairs at that compound in Pakistan picked the door and then shot Osama bin Laden, the guy, right? And there were two guys with fire. There were two guys with fire, those two guys. If their names came out, what would their lives be worth?
Well, the guys that shot them were SEAL Team 6, and that's where I believe it was 13.
Well, what the government is telling you about that raid is factually inaccurate, and for the purpose of protecting people. You know, I mean, first of all, there was no SEAL Team 6. There is no SEAL Team 6.
Yeah, there was.
It doesn't exist. No, it was disbanded years ago.
Okay, because we had
the people who were SEAL Team 6 were reassigned to other SEAL teams, but they became part of what's known as U.S. Naval Special Operations Development Group, DEV Group. They call it DEV Group. But all of those raids are done, are planned and carried out by the Joint Special Operations Command of Fort Bragg, which is a combination of Green Berets, SEALs, Rangers, Air Force, Special Operations, Marine Special Operations personnel, and Special Operations pilots. The 160th Special Operations Air Regiment, the 160th SOAR. That's who does those things. So, but we put out these stories because it's good to hide the people who did these things.
Right, but Valerie, Karen and Billy Vaughn were on our show a couple weeks ago, and they did a lot of research. And they did a lot of research that as soon as Joe Biden said something, that automatically put targets on their backs. And they were killed.
A JSOC team.
Yes.
Prince Leslop versus the man team.
Well,
died in a helicopter crash.
Mm-hmm.
Died in a helicopter crash.
Right.
Being inserted to go after a high-value target in Afghanistan.
They were, it got a little more complicated than that. They were put on a Chinook, I think it was, helicopter.
A Chinook. That's what the 160th SOAR uses to transport them on.
And they were on a transport, and they could not shoot. I'm trying to think of this off the top of my head. There was.
I can tell you. What happens is that there's a special forces Charlie team, which is a command team, which is landed early along with members of the 75th Rangers, who clear a landing zone and set up a command post for these missions for high value targets. They then bring in a team that's going to go after the HVP. But by the time the Chinook comes in with the HVP on it, the perimeter of the landing zone is very, very well under control. And quite frankly, they almost always bring them in without gunships and without jets. Because if you bring one helicopter in with gunships and jets, it identifies them. So they bring it in, so it looks like they're bringing, Chow in or something like that. It's a very, very common practice in for JSOC insertions. It's kind of the way they do it.
Well, they also had people that were on that aircraft were not on the manifest list. So there's a lot of fishy stuff going on with that.
Yeah, they had Afghani personnel on that. But that's not uncommon. Because special operations uses indigenous forces to work with them on a regular basis and have since the Green Berets organized the Mardi Gras tribesmen in Vietnam. So all those things are true, but they're not uncommon and they're not fishy, if you will.
Okay.
It's not uncommon. It's not fishy. It's the way they do business. And they use diversions all the time. And one of the things that they do the best is to hide in the open. They'll do things that are very open because you'd never think that they would do that. You'd expect some sort of subterfuge. I can't even say the word. These guys are at risk. They're specialty guys. The JSOC teams are put together based on the mission and based on the specific skills of the people involved. When they have a special mission like that, parts of the team drill and practice their portion at different locations in different posts around the country. And oftentimes they don't even know who's going in with them until they get on the helicopter together.
Wow.
Because keeping those pieces of information apart keep them alive. And nobody knows who the whole team's going to be except for the highest level of the Joint Special Operations Command.
Right.
And that's simply to protect people.
Right.
Like I said, what's the guy's life that kicked that door and shot Osama bin? What's his life worth? What's it worth to Al-Qaeda to kill him? How much money would they pay for that?
Well,
an ungodly amount of money.
You know, I don't know. I don't know. Because I know that there's been... Karen and Billy Vaughn actually has a book. Geez, I don't even remember the name of it, but it is at the top of the hour, and I do have to take a break, so bear with me 1 minute.
No, go for it. No problem.
Okay, thanks.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan,
on...
look out! Look out!
Oh, my God, Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Take this time to breathe deeply and close your eyes. Right now, you're completely in control. Unlike the time you and your son played basketball and you attempted to slam dunk. Or when you tried removing those raccoons from the basement. Concentrate on the soothing sound of my voice. Release the memory of when you wrestled with that beehive in your son's treehouse. Let go of the time you thought that skunk was a cat, or when you pulled into the garage with your son's bike on top of the car. Deep breaths. Deep breaths.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Women Patriots. If you want to call in and ask Chip questions, the number is 718-305-7176. Give us a call. Chip, let me ask you this, and I don't know if you even know this, but did you know that Valerie Jarrett told... for the raid on bin Laden that she
it's pretty well known that she whether she called it off or urged the president, he acceded to it three times. you know, before the rest of the folks in charge said, if you don't do it, we're going to do something about it. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And then Obama takes the credit for what our soldiers did.
Well, I mean, for crying out loud, Obama's taking credit for everything, including the parting of the Red Sea, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, actually, he's not taking credit for the national debt, the crappy economy, the things that he's supposed to be responsible for, he's not taking credit for the mess that he made of this country. He's blaming the Republicans.
Yep. Well, I mean, the other side of it is, you know, and one of the articles that I wrote, the article I wrote just subsequent to the Valerie Jarrett article was about, you know, community organizing the world and Obama's use of crisis. You know, the guy never had a job inside the community organizer. He knows nothing else. His White House is full of people who plied the trade of community organizing, including Valerie Jarrett, and quite frankly, including Hillary Clinton, who wrote her Wellesley senior thesis on Saul Alinsky. So,
yeah.
You have these people who know how to community organize. One of the things that Alinsky said in an interview about Rules for Radicals is that what they do is they rub the sore raw in the community so that people rise up. And that's what Barack does. And that's what he's done in the Middle East. I mean, you can't use those, I don't think you can, at least. You can't use those principles in international relations, and certainly not in military activity. I mean, you have to be a little proactive, you have to have a plan, and you have to move forward. You can't just go in and stir up crap, can I use that word on the radio? Stir up crap, you know, and then wait to see how it resolves out, well, you know, through people power, which is a term that Alinsky used, and I always loved it when I heard the term people power, because it really does sound a lot like the power of the proletariat, doesn't it?
Right, right, and they love to play on emotions.
Yeah, and they play on, and exactly, it's all the generation of emotion to get people to get the people, quote unquote, the proletariat, if you use the term that I prefer, to act. And that's what they did in the Middle East, and that's what they're doing in this country in terms of creating class warfare and creating racial warfare. You know, it's what they do, but it's the only tools they have in the toolbox because they've never studied another trade, if you will.
Right.
You know, and it doesn't work. And you know, and the thing that I shake my head. I mean, I shake my head to the point that I think my brains rattle out of my ears sometimes. You know, here we are, what was the cover-up? Let's go back to that. What was the cover-up? Everyone's screaming there was a cover-up. And people are right to say there was a cover-up, but they missed when the cover-up began. What happened was we as part of the role in inciting the Libyan revolution, we were funding Qatar to buy arms to distribute to the Libyan rebels. And
right. Actually,
the arms dealer, his name was Mark Turi. Yeah, he's out of Phoenix. And Turi was selling arms to them, including, I mean, when you say arms, we're not just talking about M4 rifles, you know. We're talking about rockets, and we're talking about armament. So he's selling this stuff to Qatar and the United Arab Emirates, and they're funneling this stuff into Libya. Well, do you think that they care which Libyan rebels get the stuff? Do you think that the Qataris care if Al Qaeda gets it or were people more sympathetic to us? I think not. So
yeah, I think not
we have special forces again on temporary duty to the State Department. That's what Special Mission Benghazi was, who were working with the right rebel groups to organize them, because that's what SF does. You know, they organize, go to their website, and it's very open. They organize indigenous people to defend themselves. So they're in organizing the right rebel groups, the ones that we would like to have to, we'd like to form a coalition government when the revolution is over. But one of the things that they're finding is they're finding out that the wrong rebel groups have our arms. And they're coming back and going, whoa, what's wrong with this picture? So the guy that was kind of overseeing it from a governmental perspective, the special envoy, Caribbean, his name happened to be Christopher Stevens. Does that name ring a bell?
Yeah.
God rest his soul. And he cooked up the, he said, okay, you're right. And he cooked up a scheme with Mark Turry, where Mark Turry would apply for the permit to sell directly through our special forces to the correct Libyan rebels. And he went to Washington to push support for that permit and that plan. The permit was denied. So what did we do? We kept arming them through Qatar and through the United Arab Emirates. And, you know, and some reasonable percentage of our of stuff with our name on it, you know, Colt M4 rifles. You know, whoever's making our rocket-propelled grenades and our surface-to-air missiles these days, with our brand right on them, is going to the wrong guys. Well, the war is over, and we want to create this coalition government. Well, we've armed the wrong side of the coalition government, so our guys can't get the right government into Libya because we've armed their opposition. So we come up with this brilliant plan to disarm the al-Qaeda cells. Now, in the process of disarming the al-Qaeda cells, we also developed this brilliant plan, and that's really sarcastic when I say it, we'll just ship them out of Benghazi Harbor to Turkey.
Uh-huh.
So that Turkey can arm the Syrian rebels. Well, right now, those rebels that we arm, many of them al-Qaeda,
mm-hmm.
many of them a Muslim Brotherhood alliance, are
uh-huh.
murdering entire villages of Christian Syrians.
Yeah.
When the story comes out of what's going on in Syria, it's people, you're not going to know if you should scream or cry, and you'll probably do both. Well, you know, number one, well, why did the mission in Benghazi get attacked? You go out and you start to take the arms away from somebody who wants to be part of the coalition government, you know, to rule their country, you're going to really irritate them.
Right.
And it's not rocket science to think that they're going to square the score. And then when you stop and think about it, you come up on September 11th, which is a huge date in our country regarding terrorism. And considering that the people that we're taking the arms from are al-Qaeda cells, the attack on September 11th, I mean, does the word duh come to mind?
Yeah.
You know, this is not rocket science, President Obama, not rocket science.
Right.
So, you know, this attack happened. But, you know, everyone thinks the cover-up started to cover up the attack on Benghazi. In fact, and then there are people who are going back with it, well, we're covering up what Benghazi was doing, which is sending arms to Turkey and Syria. No.
Right.
The cover-up began when we started to seize the arms back from Ansar al-Sharia. And all of this cover-up all the way down the line.
Right. Yeah. Bear with me one second. Join Delaware political veteran Christopher Manti every Friday right here on Conservative Nation Radio for the Christopher Manti Show. At its new time, 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 Central, for a fresh take of conservative thought, modern America, and threat of Sharia, and the weird, wild, wacky world of Washington, D.C., plus some heavy metal rock and roll thrown in for good measure. The Christopher Manti Show, which could readily be called eponymous, Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 Central on Conservative Nation Radio, where America always wins. Okay, we have Chip Jones with us, and he's discussing his article and then some about Benghazi. So if anybody has any questions wants to chime in, think they might know something we don't, give us a call at 718-305-7176. Okay, and we're actually, I had asked Greg Mora to call in. He'll be calling in probably in about 30 minutes. He's going to be doing a statue to commemorate the honor of the four lives lost. So we're going to bring him on, you know, about 30 minutes, I think he's going to call in.
And God bless him for doing that.
Oh, man, he's the one that just did the Chris Kyle statue. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll have to post it again in all the... I know we're on a lot of pages of Facebook together, but I don't always know which one, but...
I keep looking in my closet to see if you're in there, too.
I know, right? You're everywhere.
Is that you in there?
And, you know... And that's the cool thing. That's how we keep our connections, to know what's going on.
You know, and me being me, I'm not even going to do a get out of the closet joke right now. You know?
Well, I'm glad you've come out of the closet to do some writing. I mean, it's been some excellent work that you've dug up.
Well, you know, it's been a year long project for all of us. You know, and. And, you know, it's really a matter of honor. I mean, three guys were left behind on that roof. I mean, it's just wrong, you know. We did a conservative reports online radio show, and I think we wrote about it. I get confused with this, you know, what I've written like 67 articles or something, you know, like I can remember. But, We did a show about Roy Benavides, who was a Green Beret in Vietnam, and he came in from a mission, and before he even got off the helipad, he heard the radio squawking about one of their Green Beret units that was pinned down in a landing zone, you know, and the helicopters were taking off to medevac the wounded and get the guys out, and he jumped in one of the helicopters with a medical kit, because he was a small arms guy and a medic. They couldn't even land the helicopters in the landing zone. He jumped like 20 feet out of a helicopter and helped them organize themselves defensively. They brought in a helicopter. He loads everybody, the wounded and the well, on the helicopter. He's wounded like 3 or 4 times at this point himself. They get on the helicopter. The helicopter takes off and is shot down. He pulls everybody out of the helicopter, sets up another defensive perimeter. You know, they call in another helicopter. The next helicopter comes in. He loads the wounded and the healthy back on that helicopter, including the pilot. He's attacked by a North Vietnamese regular who eviscerates him with a bayonet. And he kills that North Vietnamese soldier with his bare hand. They pull him onto the helicopter and take off. This guy, when they finally got him back, I think it was Anlock, if I remember correctly, but I may be wrong about that. They thought he was dead. So they put him in a body bag, and they started to zip the body bag up. You know, and Roy... He said, I had no strength left. All I could do, he said, as I zipped the zipper up, I spit in the doctor's face. And the doctor said, wait a minute, this guy's alive. And they actually tended to him, and he lived for quite a long time. It took all the way for Ronald Reagan to give him a Congressional Medal of Honor for that. But one of the things that he said when he talks about it is, he said, you know, when I was putting people on the helicopter, he said, no one was going to get left behind. He pulled two dead North Vietnamese soldiers on by mistake. He was being so careful not to leave anybody behind.
Wow.
Now, Roy Benavides was the son of Mexican immigrant sheriffs in Texas. He was made fun of in school. He was uneducated. He joined the United States Army as his way out, and it became his life, and he built his way up. But what he was, as all the guys have, he had a nickname. And the nickname was that mean Mexican.
Okay, yeah.
For obvious reasons when you hear the story. But the fanatics for that mean Mexican is Tango Mike Mike. The words Tango Mike Mike went out on the radio from the CIA annex in Benghazi.
Wait, and can you hold that for a second? We've got to go to another break.
Yep.
This is sorry.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
It's easy to take your world for granted. Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if everything familiar becomes anything but? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Okay, forest animals, today is a new day. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow.
Yes?
Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. Okay, river.
Dude.
How's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man. Perfect for a little riverside shoeless relaxation.
Ah, good. Owl, you here? Cool. Who's asking? I am. Look, you know the drill. Sleep during the day, scare the kids at night.
Perfect. I love my job.
Oak tree?
Stop.
Still in the same place I left you last year. That's what I like, consistency.
Well, it's not like I'm going anywhere for the next couple hundred years.
I know. I love it. Turtle. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. You'd think he would have learned by now to leave the night before our meetings. Okay. Squirrel. Has anybody seen Mr. Squirrel?
The forest has been preparing just for you. Visit a forest near you today. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing, The Beauty and the Brain, on conservativenationradio.org.
And welcome back to Women Patriots. We are talking to Chip Jones, the man that broke the story of Valerie Jarrett. And he's got some other information that we've been discussing, discussing a lot about Benghazi in the Middle East and the happenings over there. So if you have any questions, want to call in, join the conversation, give us a call at 718-305-7176. I'm sorry, Chip, I had to interrupt you to take that break, and you were in the middle of a thought. I apologize.
Oh, that's fine. I can go back. You know, and I was talking about Roy Benavides, and his nickname was that mean Mexican, phonetically down to Tango Mike Mike, which became his call sign. And that call sign actually became the universal signal of distress in special operations in honor of what he did when his brethren were they would have died. If they hadn't gone in and done that, the whole team would have died. And ultimately, Ronald Reagan gave him the Medal of Honor. Took all the way to Ronald Reagan from the Vietnam War to get this guy a Medal of Honor. Don't get me going. But you know, Tango Mike Mike, those words went out in Benghazi that night. And the guys weren't allowed to respond. You know, it's a matter of honor for all of us to respond for Ty Woods and Glenn Doherty. They could have been saved. We couldn't have saved Stephen Smith or Ambassador Stevens at that point. But they could have. Dave Rubin would have, you know, a normal leg, not a prosthesis. You know,
no one left behind.
They deserve better. They deserve better. It's a matter of honor to give them better. You know, we lost this kernel of our national honor that night.
And we have to go out
and win it back. Which is why I'm such a stickler about the truth on some of these things. You know, is because when we shave away one of the things that this administration does really well is it allows false scandals.
Right.
We have to maintain message discipline on what the real issue here. You know, I'm going to give everybody out there the bad news. What Valerie Dugger did that night was not illegal. There's no high crimes or misdemeanors here, folks. What you have here is you have an uncaring president backed by people who are more concerned with a global agenda than they are with your national interests. Who will break any rule necessary to achieve that agenda. And it doesn't matter who gets hurt in the process. It really doesn't. And we need, and that is contrary to the very core of our national morals and ethics. And we have to seize that back. And we have to seize it back by not getting trapped in their false stories or in their false language or in their false premises. You have to stick to the facts and plug away. You know, are we going to get Barack Obama impeached? Not likely. Could this force a change that was driven congressionally in terms of oversight? Yeah, it can. And can that change be dramatic compared to what it's been? Yes, it can be. And can our more conservative, our conservative Democratic friends, as well as our conservative Republican friends, can they partner to oversee, to ensure that our military actions are done in a thoughtful and planned way as opposed to using the rules of a community organizer? You know, can we have a foreign policy that is not dependent on the creating of crisis in places in the world, but that has to do with the resolution of conflict so we can have a peaceful world? We used to be the makers of peace. We are now the makers of conflict.
Well,
that's my sermon. I'm done with it.
Yeah, that was very disappointing what you just said. That you mean dereliction of duty is not an impeachable offense? I mean,
I think you have to have a clear definition of what the duty is.
The duty is to protect your people and leave no one behind.
I don't think that's explicit in the law. It certainly is.
The only job of the president is to maintain that. Sorry, I got to get my glasses because I got my Constitution right here. I always leave it right here with me. So I never know when I'm.
Never go very far from the Constitution, huh?
Basically, his job is to provide and maintain a Navy. Let's see. Let me go back to the beginning here. To promote and progress science. To constitute tribunals inferior to the Supreme Court. To define and punish piracies and felonies committed on high seas and offenses against the laws of nation. to declare war, grant letters of marque and reprisal, and make rules concerning capture on land and water, to raise and support armies, but no appropriation of money to that use shall be for a longer term than 2 years, provided maintain that, I said that already, to provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress, let's see, to provide organizing army and disciplining the militia for government. Well, you know, basically, his job is to keep us safe.
See, in principle, I completely agree with you. Definitely wrong. In principle, I couldn't be more in agreement with you if I lived inside of your skin. But I don't. I mean, I don't think it perks to that legal level. I mean, I think it's well perked past the moral and ethical level, and certainly to the people in our military. You know, it's not very long. You know, after they give you the haircut at boot camp, that they don't teach you about the guy to the right of you and the guy to the left of you. You know. Your absolute responsibility to take care of the men around you before you take care of yourself, and that that's the glue that holds our military together and makes us effective.
Right.
It doesn't, you know, if you're saying that that's a moral and ethical requirement of the President of the United States, you are preaching to the choir. And that's why I'm doing this. I mean, I'm doing this because I take umbrage over the fact that they didn't respond to the, you know, to the call for help for guys, you know, for guys that richly deserve that help. And what's more,
one of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months, even longer, to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service. 24/7, 365 days. There is really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com. Then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be glad you did.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, and thank you for your service.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing, The Beauty and the Brain, on conservativenationradio.org.
And welcome back to Women Patriots. Call-in number to kind of get involved in the conversation is 718-305-7176. And we are talking to Chip Jones about Benghazi and what's been going on over there and in the Middle East. I'm sorry, Chip, I had to do it again to you.
Well, you keep apologizing to me for doing it. But when you do it, I just go in the kitchen and get another cold bottle of water. So, you know, really, I should be thanking you.
Oh, okay. Okay. So we're good. We're good. Go ahead.
It all works.
Thank you for being here. I really appreciate it because, like I said, you know, there's been a little bit of jibber jabber about that the whole time. Now, we were kind of talking about the hearings and all, and Hillary, she makes me sick, and I'm sure she makes a lot of people sick, but she also, since March, where Ambassador Stevens was asking, begging, pleading, by the time September 11th happened, was begging and pleading for more security, and they kept getting denied. And
200 requests for increased security.
And where is that fall on her? I mean, she's got blood on her hands from that, does she not?
I think that she has blood on her hands. Yeah, of course I do.
I was having a conversation last week, and somebody told me that Hillary didn't have the power to do anything. And, of course, my argument was she had the power to send security. And the person I was talking to said they didn't have money. And my reaction was it was not about money. It had nothing to do with money. Go back, you can watch.
Yeah, try to blame her. Try to blame it on the sequester, right? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, the sequester that happened now.
Nice try. Next.
No, but that's what they were saying at first, because that's why they weren't given. It was the Republicans' fault because the Republican, you know, and we know from watching the hearings and being very focused on the situation that they went ahead, you know, we know that it had nothing to do with money.
The Special Forces Commander for the region had been asking for an increase in the Special Forces presence in Tripoli for months. They asked for 18 people. That's clearly out of his mouth in testimony. It's right there. And it was continuously denied. And they were actually downsizing what the presence that they had there. And expecting the guys who were left over to use indigenous mercenary forces. Which is common. But you have to have a sufficient number of people to lead, to organize, lead, and direct them.
Right.
You know, and they were looking for the necessary people to organize, lead, and direct them. And some stuff just has to be done by our guys, you know. Had there been greater security, would the attack on Special Mission Benghazi occurred? Maybe not. Maybe not. Had there been more security there, would it have ended quicker? Yeah, I think it would. It's a mistake. Does she have blood in her hand? If it were me that had made that decision, I'd go to my grave carrying guilt from that decision.
Right. And she's got the nerve.
Is it an illegal decision? No. You know, we all, those sorts of decisions are made regularly out there in the world, and some of them work out and some of them don't.
But, you know, it's also, it's up to us to get the message out that she is, she needs to be discredited. We cannot have her running for president because there's people that still adore her.
Oh, I mean, I agree. And, you know, and I don't think that we're, you know, that we're going to have a trial. I think that we're going to have, we certainly should have a very spirited discussion in a Democratic primary. And we should enter that discussion and make clear our concerns about her behavior in the past. But you know, then you look at she's gone. You got John Kerry in the job. Who might I add? He is on the very, very short list of people whose graves I would urinate on. He's on a short list. He's on a short list for some of the stuff he's done. But be that as it may. You know, what did we do last week or so? Did we reinforce our Middle Eastern embassies, or did we run like scared children?
Yeah, exactly. We ran like scared children because that was the thing to do, and you know, I think they were trying to save face on that, but... You know, then they tell our enemies, yes, we're going to be there. We're clearing them out for a couple of days, but we'll be back. So, you know, there's your open fire.
Yeah, pull some non-essential personnel out. I'm good with that. We do that all the time, you know. Sky out some non-essential personnel. Get them out of the theater for a while. You know, whatever, you know, reinforce the Marine security guard with a couple of SF alpha teams or whatever you got to do. We do that all the time, you know. I've got an old BFN that got assigned to the embassy in Kuwait during Gulf One. Under the same circumstance. I know he was livid about it because he felt that the Marine security guard could have done it without him. And that they would have been, their talents would have been much better used doing other things. And in fact, their talents were much better used. That's one of my favorite unclassified stories that never hit the paper. You know, remember in Gulf One how we expected to have the quote unquote mother of all battles with the Republican Guard?
Yeah.
And they disappeared?
Yep.
The Republican Guard had been moved to the border of Kurdistan to complete the genocide of the Kurds. Our military intelligence picked that up. And our special forces, Canadian special forces and Israeli special forces, were parachuted in to meet them on the border of Kurdistan, which they did. And those three groups were outnumbered by the Republican Guard. Needless to say, the Kurds are still there, right?
Yep.
Us one, Republican card, zero.
Right.
That's one of the stories that was never told. Then we parachuted in our special forces. Who met the end, by the way? When you hear there were no weapons of mass destruction, their suits went up. They were gassed. The Republican had chemical weapons. that they were going to use to kill the Kurds, and they used them against our soldiers. So when you hear there were no weapons of mass destruction, you might want to say, ask the Green Brigade.
They're using them in Syria now.
And it's being blamed on Assad. And my guess is it's probably the terrorist groups.
Yeah, and do you think that they were plants in the consulate in Benghazi the night of the attack? Because I know they were training their soldiers over there in Libya so they can have their own army.
Well, you know, even now, if you look at Libya, they don't have even the beginning of a reasonable coalition government. That job got butchered. It just got butchered. You know,
yeah.
I mean, shouldn't there be a coalition government by now?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's
they
that
were.
All about?
Right.
What are we on both sides of the fight? Talk about a knucklehead move.
Right. Yeah, that's very true. Okay, we got to do another break. So bear with us.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs. I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, 1 out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly 1/3 of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Peek-a-boo. Peek-a-boo, smile.
Smile, buddy.
Come on, smile. Oh, honey, he's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah, maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy. You know how boys are.
Or maybe he's teething. Oh, poor baby, I think his gums hurt.
Maybe he's just tired.
Or maybe his tummy hurts. He didn't eat that much.
Maybe he's not ticklish.
You think maybe he's scared of the dog?
Maybe he'll outgrow it. Maybe it's a phase. Maybe he just doesn't like smiling.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No Big Joyful Smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs or see a doctor today for an autism screening. The sooner it's diagnosed, the better. And it can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing, The Beauty and the Brain, on conservativenationradio.org.
All righty, and welcome back to the last segment of Women Patriots. Still time to call in and join the conversation, 718-305-7176. And we are still talking with Chip Jones, who is a blogger who writes articles, and he's the one that broke the story about Valerie Jarrett. And we're talking to him about things that are going on in the Middle East. And welcome back, Chip.
Thank you.
What about the guns, the gun running?
Over there.
Where?
In Benghazi. I know you've touched on it before, but do you think Hillary knew about that? Because when she was in her at the hearing, the congressional hearing, she said she didn't know about that.
Actually, what she said was that she told Rand Paul that he would have to ask someone else that question.
She wasn't aware of anything.
Well, that really goes to, I said you have to ask the right questions. You know, sometimes they're asking the wrong questions to the right people and the right questions to the wrong people. That's one of the right questions to the wrong people, because you had two separate things that were going on parallel with the same goal. You had a State Department function that was trying to nation build by empowering the right dissident groups, which was a State Department operation. However, the gun case was actually a CIA operation.
Right.
So.
Well, yeah, we do know that.
So if you're going to ask about guns, you don't ask the Secretary of State. You would have had to have asked General Petraeus. So,
right. Okay.
Another situation where Hillary Clinton, in all honesty, answered a question completely factually correctly. No one can ever accuse her of perjury. Again, staying away from those charges, those high crimes and misdemeanor style charges. Asked her a question that she answered completely honestly and misled the American public. They asked
okay.
the wrong witness that question. That's why there was a CIA annex and not just a special mission.
Okay. So, yeah, okay. Actually, we got a call on the line, Duke, and he's going to give us a quick rundown of his show tomorrow night. Hey, Duke, how are you?
Hey, Barbara, how are you doing? A fascinating discussion with Chip. Chip, thanks for being on board, and thanks for revealing the truth that you have found. A lot of us really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
So tomorrow night on Radio Free America, it's actually going to be, this is going to be another one for the record books. Jordan Chester from Americans for Fair Taxation will be with us again, because I got so many emails from people asking questions about the fair tax, I thought that it would just be the right thing to do to bring Jordan back, and I'll be live in the digital studio in Dover tomorrow night. That's in the first hour, in addition to the Freedom Minute from Senator Ted Cruz that I present every week. In the second hour, I've got two great guests. One, Kevin Wade. Many of my listeners are familiar with Kevin. Kevin was the GOP candidate for the U.S. Senate from Delaware last year. And Kevin is a guy with bold ideas, and we'll have Kevin live in the studio for about 40 minutes. And then we will have Brad Bierman, the former sports director at WSYR Radio. We're going to be talking a little bit about baseball, because the World Series is approaching faster than you know. And I'll also have an interview with Dr. Blah, Blah, Blah from the University of Wan, who has discovered that the source of the recent warming on this planet is due to a massive star that he has found at the center of the solar system. So it's going to be a very interesting evening on Radio Free America tomorrow night at 7, 6 Central, right here at conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins.
Oh, that's very interesting. Very, very interesting. Thank you for that information. Sounds very interesting.
All
we'll
right, Barbara. Have a great evening.
Thanks, you too. All right, and we are just 6 minutes away from wrapping it up. If anybody wants to join the conversation, we have about 5 minutes left. 718-305-7176. Okay, Chip, what do you got? Do you have any final words for us for keeping an eye out for anything that might be coming out?
I think the final words here are for us to demand. You know, we're very good at demanding what the other side should do. I think we need to demand of ourselves good research, quality information, a disciplined message that's going out about this, not jumping on, if you will, the conspiracy theory du jour, but on a fact, in a factual, level-headed, you know, in ongoing way to press forward. So what we can bring out the truth about these problems.
Right.
Yeah, and that's you know, ask the right people the right questions. Don't ask the wrong people the right questions or the right people the wrong questions. Be careful of the conspiracy that you promote. You know, it's got, you know, stick around and make sure it's a real one. You know, you can't accuse the government of moving Green Berets around, making them sign NDAs and polygraphing them when they do that all the time, before, after, and everybody else. They polygraph them because they have to be able to beat polygraphs. It's training.
Right.
If they want to interrogate one of those special guys, they do it with sodium pentothal.
Right.
They don't do it with a lie detector. You know, let's not fall for it. Let's find the real stuff, stick to the real stuff, and bang away and bang away and bang away and bang away at the real stuff. And you know what? We will prevail. And
yeah,
Ty Wood and Glenn Doherty's memory will be honored.
Do you think we need to get on Congress about asking the right people the right questions?
I think we need to letter them, we need to call them, we need to tweet them, we need to Facebook them, we need to hit them in every way we can about, you know, about cleaning up the language and cleaning up the questions. And what do we do? You know, when that happens, I think it'd be a riot when Trey Gowdy starts to ask the right questions to the right people. I mean, I swear, Barbara, I will pop the popcorn and bring the coke.
Yeah.
It's not so. It's I me.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Oh, and Rand Paul and Daryl Ison, and then I list those other. There's other folks, but we can't get caught up in bad language or bad theory. You know, it's got to be researched, it's got to be sophisticated, and it has to be presented right. And I guess those are my final words. And I think that's what we've been trying to do. Folks, last word, please frequent conservativereport.org. That's conservativereport.org. Articles going up all the time, a variety of very conservative things, from gun control to Benghazi, you know, to the sequester, to the budget, to conservative religious material by some of the writers. Good stuff. Good writers, good people. Love to be with them. And thank you, Barbara.
Well, thank you, Chip, so much for your information and for your hard work. Like Duke had said, it is very much appreciated by we the people who know what's going on. All right, and I want to thank everybody so much for joining us tonight. Women Patriots, we're here every Tuesday. We'll be here again next week, same time, same channel. God bless everybody.